Blog Talk Radio.
Living in the moment. Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I'm your host, Amber Waters Porter, and I'm here with my guest, Apostle Isaac Paul Agadosa. Today, we're going to bypass our Mama Says segment because there's so much information that Apostle wants to put out and give us today. Today's subject is a little bit different. We've been dealing with the dynamics of prophetic warfare. And so we're going to go into the dynamics of prophetic warfare part two today, dealing with the garment of prophetic warfare, the use of the ephod. And just so everyone can get some understanding, the ephod is E-P-H-O-D. It's the most significant part of the priesthood culture as it helps to get the direction of the warfare and the location of the enemy. So let's get right into it. Welcome, Apostle. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, and thank you so much. And how are you doing?
I'm doing well myself. Thank you for asking. So let's get right into it because you have so much information and I know I need to recap. So today we're part two, the garment of the prophetic warfare, the use of the ephod.
Yes, the use of the ephod.
Okay.
We have in the use of the ephod as the garment of prophetic warfare. And for the past two Tuesdays, we actually been dealing with the dynamics of prophetic warfare. And, we've been looking at the fasting and praying as a game in prophetic warfare. And this moment, what we can call the phase two of the teaching on dynamics of prophetic warfare. I also want to remind us that the prophetic warfare is dynamic in nature and it has different phases to it. We've dealt with one, we're going to the second one. The third one actually is going to be through the gift of the Spirit, and on and on like that. But right here, we're looking at what makes the effort important in as a garment of the priesthood culture. One of the identities of a priest is what he puts on. And the caution I gave the last time was it is time for Christianity to stop shooting aimless arrows and missing your targets, missing our targets in prayer warfare. There is need to seek the mind of God confronting the challenges of life. If you don't seek the mind of God, you're gonna miss the mark. Even in the battle, you're gonna miss the target. God is always ready to reveal to us, to reveal to you the weapons and the tricks. I posted it on Facebook too, that God is always ready to reveal to you the weapons and the tricks of the enemy. Also ready to give us the strategy to crush them. And in doing this, when you seek God, God reveals things to you. When you don't seek God, he doesn't reveal to you. So now, I want you to take note that a prophetic warfare is a two-way communication with God. It's a two-way communication with God. You understand what I'm saying? So if you're going in prophetic warfare, you speak to God, God speaks back to you, and you take that. You take that to war. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, call unto me, call to me, and I will answer thee. Then I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. The first thing he said, you must call unto me. The second one, he said, I will answer you. And when I answer you, I'm going to show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now, children of God, we've so much idolized people around us that Every moment we have challenges, the adversary comes up, we try to call on a man. We want to call on a man first before we call upon God. So that's why I ask people, who are you calling? Who are you calling today, God or man? When you call on man, they're going to first remember your past. They're going to remember your mistakes. They're going to remember where you mm-hmm. went wrong. They're going to remember your weaknesses. You understand? But yeah. God will answer you and begin to show you, because he knows why you have come to pray. So he begins to show you great and mighty things that you have not known. So the prophetic warfare is what is the act of fulfilling our royal priesthood office. Is the act of fulfilling our royal priesthood office. You remember that song, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of the darkness, out of the darkness, out of the darkness into his marvelous light." So now, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. The act of fulfilling that royal priesthood is the act of prophetic warfare. Because remember, I told us that every tribe, every nation, every culture, every tribe, every nation, every people have a culture. And our culture as Christians is warfare. We must fight. The Bible says we wrestle not. It's a daily thing. And we always fight from the angle of victory. Now let's go into the discourse of today, the use of effort. The use of effort. Where can we bring up the word effort from the scriptures? Maybe we want to look quickly into 1 Samuel 28. I will, because of time, most of the scriptures I'll just give it to you and I will paraphrase.
Okay.
Yeah, 1 Samuel 23 from 1 to 14, then the same 1 Samuel chapter 30 verses 1 to 8. 8 of them talk about now at the battle when David went to rescue Goliath. The Bible said, let me give you 1 Samuel 30:1-8. Remember that was the battle at Ziklag. The Bible said David called upon a priest. Now it happened when David and his men came home to Ziklag on the third day, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev. I'm reading from the Amplified. And when he did all that, having encouraged himself, looking at all the losses and the thought of men towards him, the Bible said in verse 7, David said to Abiathar, the priest, "Ahimelech, son, bring me the ephod." Bring me the ephod. Why would he be asking for the ephod in the face of adversity when we have all these terrible battles going on? So Abiathar brought him the ephod. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this band of raiders? Will I overtake them?" And he answered in pursue, "For you will certainly overtake them, and you will certainly rescue the captives." So the ephod comes in handy there. Also, the same thing happened in the chapter 23:1-14. All right. Now, we also remember that in the scripture, in Exodus 28:29-30, while God was giving Moses the instruction on the garment of the priest, how it should look like and how they should put it on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, from Exodus 28:29-30. He said, let me get there. Okay. "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of what? Judgment. Upon his heart. And when he goeth into the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. And they shall do what? Be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel." Now, I want to hold on there. And I want to take you back a little bit. Prophetic warfare is a display of divine strategy to defeat the whole company of the enemy. Now, prophetic warfare is the display of divine strategy to defeat the whole company of enemy.
Okay.
You understand? All right. Now, in every place where the effort have been called up, where the effort have been called up by the priest or the king, it's about going back to know the mind of God concerning that battle. Whatever you are facing in life, whatever the situation is, your place of work, your marriage, your neighborhood, the country, any form of challenge that you have, momentarily, periodic challenges, monthly, seasonal, terminal, or you don't even know how it came about, the first thing you need is revelation. Without revelation, the battle is lost already. Now, Sister Amber, let me tell you one thing. The falling standard of Christianity is actually not working in divine revelation. We are so much in a hurry not to know exactly what God is saying concerning a situation. I would prefer rather to wait until last minute to hear from God than to run ahead of him. Now, quickly, in 1 Chronicles 14 and 14, in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, the same David asked the Lord, should I pursue? And the Lord said, no, do not pursue. So both effort was used to ask God. In some places he said, go. In the other places he said, do not go. Now, how does God speak concerning this embattled? Because he has made available Urim and Thummim. Why is it important? God speaks, or especially in the Old Testament, through dreams, prophecy, and Urim. In the New Testament, God speaks through his word, through the scripture. The prophets of the Old Testament are the apostles of the New Testament. And God also speaks through his servants in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, he speaks through dreams, through prophecy, and through Urim.
What is the last thing you're saying? God speaks through dreams, prophecy, and human?
Urim. Urim. U-R-I-M.
Urim.
Urim, yes. Our emphasis in the garment of prophetic warfare, the use of effort, is actually, our emphasis is revelation as the garment. You can call revelation as the mantle. You can call revelation as the weapon. Right?
So ephod is part of the garment that gives you revelation.
Yeah, I'm going to come into that quickly right now. I'm stepping into it.
Okay.
Because the ephod is the garment that God has instructed that every priest must carry. So if God has called you, Ember, if God has called you, Keisha, if God has called you, John, if God has called you, everyone listening to me, if God has called you a priest and a king, where is your garment? Where is your ephod? Oh, some people will be so religious and they are so theologian enough to say, oh, come on, ephod is in the Old Testament. Yes, if ephod is in the Old Testament, where is the ephod of the New Testament, if you know the scripture so well? So now look at it again. From the scripture I read in Exodus 28, 29, 30, you can also find it in Leviticus 8:8. The ephod carries the breastplate of judgment.
Okay.
The ephod carries the breastplate of judgment.
Ephod carries the breastplate of judgment.
Exactly. Now, the breastplate of judgment is there because God, is not in this teaching now. Maybe some other time when I want to teach about the triple anointing or the three types of anointing, why God broke down the anointing into phases, the anointing of the prophet, of the king, and of the priest. All right. Before, it's one person. Samuel was carrying everything. So before, Samuel was the last. Now, I don't want to teach that today. Now, I'm talking about the reason he had to allow only the priest to have access to understand what he's saying. Am I making sense? Now, inside the breastplate of judgment, you have the Urim and the Thummim. from what you read in Exodus 28, 29, and 30. Verse 30 says, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart. Why will it be at the heart? Why would it be at the heart? Now, as I'm mentioning the word heart, I want you to remember that I said our emphasis is revelation as our garment. So the priest put it at the heart so that he would know the mind of God with divine accuracy. So I'll give it to you like this. The Urim plus Thummim equals knowing the mind of God with divine accuracy.
Knowing Urim, the mind of God with divine
accuracy.
Accuracy.
Okay. Now the Urim and the Thummim is actually a symbol of divine affection. That is why it's at the heart. You want to win any battle in life? God looks at your heart. God looks at your heart. God looks at what you have in your mind and your heart. Not your face, not your tears, not your noise, not your running about, not your mansion, not how much you have in your bank account, not how much you've given to the prophet. No, not how much you are putting in your tithe and your offering in the church. What is your heart saying?
Right.
So now the priest put this Urim and Thummim by the heart area, a symbol of divine affection. When you say affection, you are talking about something that has to do with the heart.
Right.
All right. Now, it also symbolizes in an insatiable love and yearning for God. God asks you to put it there so that every time our heart should pant after God concerning anything we are going through. You want to write down Deuteronomy 33 and verse 8. The insatiable Deuteronomy 33 and verse 8.
So
insatiable love and yearning for God. Okay. Yearning for God. Yes.
So the Urim and the Thummim are symbols of divine affection and represent the insatiable love and yearning for God.
Exactly. Okay. It's a symbol of divine affection.
Right.
Symbol of divine affection. So you have a battle in your life. You have an issue you want God to sort out in your life. God looks at the affection that is in your heart.
Okay.
God will not ignore someone that his heart pants after the Lord every day and begin to attend to someone that does not even have anything, that does not even have time for God.
Right.
So how do we bring this Urim and Thummim from the Old Testament into the New Testament? That's what I want to take you to.
Okay.
Now, the Urim actually represents light.
Light.
Light. And that light is an expression of faith. It's an expression of faith.
Expression of faith.
All right? Yet how does light become an expression of faith? When you say light, you say insight. The entrance of the word giveth light and understanding to the simple. When you say light, you are talking about revelation. And when you have revelation of a situation of what you are going through in life, your faith is going to increase immediately. His faith is going to come upon you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Urim is an represents light, and it's an expression of faith. Why Thummim? Thummim, Thummim, represents perfection. Why? Because you and I are not perfect, but our perfection can be found if love is there. So,
affection or perfection?
Perfection, P-E-R-F-E-C-T-I-O-N, perfection.
So Thummim is a symbol, an expression of perfection.
Yes, Thummim represents perfection, which is the expression of what? Love. How is perfection shown? Through love. Love. That is the only perfect thing. So you see the progression now. Because Urim and Thummim is light and perfection, Urim and Thummim is actually faith and love. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14.
Colossians 3 verse 14.
Yes. If someone want to rush in there and read, but because of time, I want to finish every teaching on this today. If I have time to come back on your program, then we will take another good topic for people to learn from. Judgment. All right? Now, remember, in the New Testament, it said the breastplate of judgment is an armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, which is called the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. The same armor of God. So when in ignorance, when we say I put on the breastplate of righteousness, you don't understand that what you are saying is because of the new covenant with Christ, judgment have become righteousness. So instead of carrying on your chest every time you see me dress up and I put on ephod and all of us carry all manner of stuff on our body and it becomes the luggage, God does not deal with that anymore. He deals with our heart. And righteousness is based in the heart. So the same armor that you put on when battles come, when adversaries locking around, is called the breastplate of righteousness, which was the breastplate of judgment in the Old Testament. You follow what I'm saying now?
Okay. The breastplate, the breastplate of judgment is the Old Testament.
Yes. And the breastplate of
righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is the New Testament.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you can find that in Ephesians 6:14, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. You see, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8 actually transports us from the breastplate of judgment into the breastplate of faith and love. Amen, somebody. We want to get to faith and love. So the ephod and the breastplate of judgment is visible with the eyes. But the breastplate of righteousness is feelable. It's feelable through righteousness. Feelable. You can feel it. F-E-E-L. You can feel it.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Now, a battle is going on in your life. God looks at your heart. And while he's looking at your heart, what does he want to see? He want to see faith and love. He want to see love in your heart. He want to see you display love. I want to quickly read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Do you understand now? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. So you see that for you to win any battle, for issues going on around you, as God is looking at and loving your heart, can I find faith and love in the revelation? What have you found out? What have you located? Yes, God is angry with the enemy daily. It is true. God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the devil every day. We pray for the wrath of God upon our enemy. But also, can he find faith in your heart? Can he find love there?
So
without which? Yes, come in.
So you're saying if a person has an issue or trial, if they're going through something in their life, and they pray to God, then God's response is to look at their heart. And then if he can find love and if he can find faith in your heart, then what?
Then you have immediate access to the gate enemy, and that issue you don't even need to fret. You have won already. We are talking about prophetic warfare.
So
we are talking about
Okay, let me be clear. So if you have an issue going on in your life, and you go to God with it, and you pray to him, you talk to him about it, and then God's response is to look at your heart and see if he can find
you. Do you really love me?
If he can,
yeah.
If you love him, if you
yeah.
love, if you have love for God and your
faith, yeah.
you have faith in him,
in
once
what?
He can
yeah.
look at you and see that you have those in your heart, and your heart is pure towards him, then you have immediate access to the gate of your adversary. Like, he'll destroy
yeah.
your adversary. Okay.
Exactly. Because it's so clear. Did the Bible not say without faith we cannot please God?
Right.
The Bible said so. So you want to assess, you want this issue, this mountain before you to go, and you don't have faith. No, with that mountain, we go. And this faith comes because you have gone to search out, you have gone to seek the mind of God.
Okay.
Do you understand now? You have gone to seek the mind of God. Maybe in some other teachings, you know, I want to say, okay, how do I seek the mind of God? Okay, or how does the Spirit of God help me in this battle? You understand? That's another area, you know, in fighting prophetic warfare. That the place of faith and love have taken over the place of judgment.
Hmm.
And faith can only be assessed because of the revelation that you have of the Word of God. Did the Word of God say this? Did the Word of God say, if you serve me, I will bless your water and your bread? Did the Word of God say, if you serve me, that you cannot be barren and not be barren in your house? When you do that, things will be done. I want to stop here. Maybe next week we'll look at some other areas. We'll just round this up to the Spirit of truth. Thank you.
Okay. Well, after a few seconds, I'm just going to try to recap. You said the ephod is the most important part of the priesthood culture because it helps to get the direction of the war of the enemy and the location of the enemy. And so ephod basically gives you revelation, and there's two ways to communicate with God. Where you speak to God and he speaks back to you. You call unto him, and the word says he will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And so that if you do that, then he will show you where your enemy is or where the adversary is trying to. He will reveal that to you so that you can fight effectively. And then this ephod gives this revelation, and without revelation, the battle is already lost. So you need to know about the ephod. You need to know how to fight properly. And
the things and the ephod is really about feeling.
Well, that's all we have time for this week, and we'll get back to it. Thank you again, Apostle, and I'll talk to you all next week. Find your moment. Good night.